Speaking on this program is Joe Ware.
We want to ask the question this morning, how shall I live? Now, before we start answering that question with the Bible, I believe I would be derelict in my duties if I didn't say, may God bless every grandparent, every grandfather, every father in this room this morning, whose allegiance is to Jesus Christ, and who cares about His family, His physical family, and His spiritual family. I believe, brethren and friends, that we're in a culture now that even more as each day passes, discounts the importance of the family and undermines the authority and of the leadership role of men, fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. It's even more appropriate that we say thank you to dads who are faithful to wives and children and to the Lord's kingdom. And it's certainly in keeping with our lesson this morning about how shall I live. As we consider our culture, as we consider the influence of our society upon us and upon our children and upon our children's children, it's important that we answer the question, how shall I live? In Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12, this will, I hope, set the tone for our lesson. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Those ladies and gentlemen who wear the name of Christ are indeed our marching orders. We should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly. We should live righteously, and we should live godly in this present world. And God has not asked us, God has not instructed us to do something that we cannot do. And I know that every man and woman in this room this morning understands that we can do God's will while we walk this walk in this world. Some 1900 years ago, the Apostle Paul, speaking with the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 2 of Titus wrote, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, that is serious, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. This is how we ought to live. Whether it be 1998 or whether it be the year A.D. 57, that aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Oh, how we in America need these teachings over and over and over again. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it'll never be too old, it'll never be too cliche to teach over and over and over in the Lord's church to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I shudder when I listen to some people who wear the name of Christ in the workplace, speak words that I would not speak ever. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not being dishonest, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. We go back to those first two verses that we read, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Christian fathers, you have a wonderful privilege and a grave responsibility to teach your children to live soberly and honestly in this present world. And Christian wives and Christian mothers, you have the great beauty and the great wondrous opportunity to stand alongside your husband if he's still living and to help him carry out Christ's marching orders in the home of every Christian to make our families strong, to make the Church of Christ strong, and to help, if it be God's will, bring this nation back to its senses and to bring our communities back to Jesus Christ. And to make certain that as we gather everywhere in the name of Christ, that we wear Christ only, we teach Christ only, we read only His Word, we believe and practice only His Word. How shall I live? If, ladies and gentlemen, we have not asked ourselves this question, let us ask today and let us answer it with God's answers, not our opinions. But let us answer it with God's truth. How shall I live before my fellow man? And how shall I live before my Father, which is in heaven? The Bible rings loudly and clearly with answer number one. Live soberly. Live seriously. No, this does not mean sourly. Sometimes it's said of me in the workplace, "Oh, Joe, you're so silly, but you make my day so much brighter." But the Christian life is to be one that takes the things of God seriously. To live soberly means that I live responsibly, that we take God's Word seriously. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Walk circumspectly. You ever watch a good old trained, wizened hound dog before he takes a nap? Have you ever watched him or watched her? If you got a good one, he or she will walk circumspectly before they pillow their heads to sleep. It's saying, where am I? What's going on around me? Who am I? And God expects us, as we live soberly, to know who we are, where we are, and what's spiritually going on around us. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. Our Father in heaven would that all saints watch unto prayer, that we live our lives knowing that we're but a breath away from eternity, and knowing that we are but a step away from sealing our everlasting place of abode. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the Bible through inspiration says so clearly, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I am appalled at how insensitive and insincere so many are to sin, and how seemingly oblivious so many people are to those things wrecking their lives spiritually. Satan is real. Sin is horrible. And hell is eternal. An unsober life before our Heavenly Father is shameful and unnecessary. The Apostle Paul says, speaking through inspiration in Ephesians 5 and 18, wrote, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And there's only one way that each child of God here this morning can be filled with the Spirit, and that is to drink of God's Word and be thus led by the Spirit. How shall I live? Our Heavenly Father says, live soberly. Take those things which are serious, seriously, and live our lives yet witness, but knowing those things that God would have us to take seriously are the very things that shall make our Heavenly Father welcome us to the portals of eternal life. So answer number one from God of heaven is, how shall I live? live soberly. Secondly, if your son or your daughter came up to you and said, Mom or Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, how am I to live? Then I know how you as a child of God are going to answer. You're going to say, Son, daughter, live righteously, because that's what God says. Folks, there's a big difference between living righteously, which is rightly, and then being self-righteous. If you'll pardon my country, there ain't no room for self-righteousness, and neither is there place for unrightness in the life of a child of God. It is not necessary. The life our Heavenly Father would have us live, one which says to live right, is one that we can achieve and one that every child of God can maintain. And I thank my God in heaven that His burden is not heavy and that the yoke indeed is light. I'm sorry to admit to you that every now and then I go down to the Rock Island restaurant and have one of those good meals that's got red meat in it. And yesterday morning, I just couldn't help but to chuckle as I heard a group of men talking at a nearby table as a tall, lanky young man got up and walked out the door and banged his head against a single tree hanging in the doorway. You young people don't know what that is. You've never plowed a mule. But one of the guys says, will the guy ever learn? He runs into it every time he walks out the door. And that reminded me that the burdens that Jesus Christ places on us to live righteously are totally wearable. Let the psalmist speak to us. You do not want and you do not need my opinions. Psalms 1, some of you can quote this, I can't. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly perish. The psalmist wrote also in Psalm 37 that God knows His own, and that our Heavenly Father cares for those who choose to walk righteously, and that we need not be afraid nor ashamed to walk in the light of God. The writer wrote in Psalm 37, verse 25, beginning, I have been young and now I am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. I believe this morning that your presence here with your brethren and friends sends a strong signal to everyone around you that you believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son, that you are thankful to be a child of God, or that you're thinking about becoming a child of God. God would have His people to live righteously. There is no substitute for right living. I'm going to give you only one opinion this morning, and I'm giving it to you now, and you don't have to listen if you don't want to. But I am convinced that 90% of the problems that we face as a community, as a church, as a nation, would disappear into thin air if every saint walked righteously. I believe that God's power through Christians is so strong that our influence on this world could be so great if we dedicated every fiber of our lives to walking righteously. And as just another Christian who sometimes teaches publicly, all I'm trying to do is encourage you, encourage me, to do more right living, because our families in this world need examples so desperately. God in the flesh said 1900 years ago, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus Christ in Matthew 5 and verse 6 In Matthew 5:20, the Lord says to us, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." I don't have to tell this assembly that the scribes and Pharisees were the religious elite of their day. On the surface, they looked perfect. But young people, if you'll pardon my figure of speech, when it came to crunch time, they invariably made an unright decision because their hearts and minds were more in tune with Satan than with God. I've got to be different from the world. You've got to be different from the run-of-the-mill, so-called, I use the expression generically, so-called Christian. And the proof has to be in every one of those little day-to-day things we say or that we don't say or that we do or that we don't do or that we think or don't think. That's where the rubber meets the road, as they say in one tire advertisement. How shall I live? God says, live soberly. And God tells me to live righteously. And thirdly, in response to the question, how shall I live? I am to live godly. After all, God made you and me in His image. Joe Ware, what do you mean by godly? There's nothing mysterious about it. It simply means living rightly and soberly. Listen as the Apostle Paul instructs in Colossians 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man, have put on the new woman, you put on the new person, which is renewed in knowledge after Him that created him. In Genesis 1:26, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female, created He them. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, with our finite nature and our tendencies to make mistakes and the humanity about all of us, we tend to forget that we're made in God's image and that we are God's presence on this earth and that without our light, the whole world stays in darkness. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalms 139:14. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. These were the words the Holy Spirit put in Paul's mouth as he led and guided and instructed young Timothy. How shall I live in 1998? And how shall I live as a child of God for the rest of my life? Listen as Paul speaks again in 1 Timothy 6:6. In language that a child can understand, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is most of us are not going to be president of the U.S. Somebody ought to say, amen, thank you, Lord. But we can be something more important than anything else on this earth. And that is, we can be saved. We can continue as Christians who live right and who can help others know Jesus Christ who takes away the sins of the world. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:28. How shall I live? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Living right in God's sight is a matter of having the correct spiritual knowledge that one gains from the Bible, making the choice to accept Jesus Christ and His Word and His will, doing what He would have us do. I know that each person in this room has a heart and a mind that says, I want to live right in God's eyes. And I commend each of you as a brother and a friend. I commend you to continue to live godly and righteously, not just to be seen, but because it's God's will for you and for me. In just a moment, this lesson is yours. God's will for you and for me is simple, and what God wants of each of us is attainable. The way and manner in which we ought to live according to the Bible is something that we can do. And I simply urge Christian brothers and sisters and friends, wherever I can, just to keep on keeping on. But then we have a great obligation too to say to those in this audience who may not have yet obeyed the gospel, you ought to do that today. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to make the great confession having repented of sins? Then you ought to be immersed for forgiveness of sins, letting God forgive you, letting God save you, letting God add you to His kingdom, the church.